mind and has been on my mind probably, I would say, every bit of 3 weeks or longer. It's been working in me, working on me, and not really sure when I would even be dealing with the subject. But I want to preach on the subject, you can begin again. You can begin again. And there's illustrations in the scripture on top of illustrations that would show you that truth, that you can begin again. But let's read in John 3, and the reason I want to read this passage is because that's where I really want to try to get to this morning, if the Lord will help me. In John chapter number 3, verse number 1, and notice the words again as we read these verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let me just comment a little bit as we go down through here so I won't have to back up and preach these. Here's a real man, and the Bible says he was a Pharisee. Everybody, most of you know what that would indicate. That indicates that this man was extremely religious. The Pharisees were some of the most religious, devout people of their day. The Bible says that he was a ruler of the Jews. That meant he was a member of the Sanhedrin court, made up, listen, of the top 70 men of the entire nation. So we're not talking about some scumbag here. We're talking about a religious man. We're talking about a respected man. Verse number 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Evidently, his religion didn't satisfy him. Evidently, something was missing. Though he had all the recognition, he had the riches, he had the religion, he had all of that, but something was missing and drove him to Jesus and began to inquire of Jesus about this new birth. Verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And verse number 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And of course, Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Think about this. Nicodemus was the first man to ever hear John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we can't hardly stop there. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, look at this, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. You say, Preacher, I'm taking my chances. You don't have a chance. If you're lost without God, amen, right, you don't have a chance. You don't go to heaven because of a chance. Amen. How a chance don't have a chance because you're condemned. Look at it, verse number 18. Read the verse again. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light cometh into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's remain standing for a word of prayer. Father, I come to you now, and I would ask you, dear Lord Jesus, that you would take control, Lord, of my mind. Take control, dear God, of my heart, my thoughts, my desires. Lord, I pray this morning for that special unction from heaven, that anointing from on high, dear God, that makes preaching effective. Dear Lord, I'm shaking, Lord, in my shoes at the awesome responsibility to stand behind the sacred desk. Not just stand behind the sacred desk and represent you and reveal and relay to this congregation the Word of God. But I realize this morning, oh God, there's people sitting in the congregation before me. Dear Lord, their life is in desperate need of you. Lord, there's people here that need to hear they can begin again. Lord, the devil's whipped them and beat them up back black and blue and tell them there's no hope and God don't care and God don't love them. I'm glad we have a Bible, Lord, that tells us the truth. And I pray this morning, God in heaven, please don't pass us by. Put your power in this place. God, I pray for the power of God to permeate this place. I pray the unction of God to come upon this dear thy servant, Lord, not for reputation, not for any of my name's sake, but for your name's sake. Oh God, help me run well with it for you this morning. Lord, I plead the blood this morning. Every power of hell, dear God, ever distracting force of hell, dear God, would be taken from this place. Lord Jesus, that you would have the attention of every sinner, and they would, and for sure we know they have your attention. Your mind definitely is on the lost, not just on Calvary's cross, but also today at church. Lord, your mind is on those that don't know you, those that are deceived, those that claim to know you, but there's no fruit, no evidence of it whatsoever. And I believe it's impossible to have life and there be no evidence. But I pray, dear God, this morning, please, dear Lord, oh God, if you've ever heard me, I plead the blood of Jesus, you would come in power, Lord. Help our church, those of us that are seated in this place, that are saved by the grace of God, to realize what an awesome chance we have to give out the gospel, to throw out the lifeline, Lord, that somebody may get saved. Lord, those that are groping in darkness, those, Lord, that are dwelling in misery because of failure or whatever, I pray you'll show them that they can begin again this morning. And I pray your will to be done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And again, I'm preaching on the subject, you can begin again. Now, what I'm going to deal with this morning, and I like that word again. I'm thankful for that word again in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. You ought to study that out sometime. The again works of God. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. I'm glad that God is likened unto the potter in the Bible. That when the clay has been marred in his hands, that he is able, the Bible says it, to make it again another vessel. Aren't you glad of that? That when something happens in your life, that he doesn't throw the clay away.
Right.
That he's able to make it again another vessel. Oh, I tell you, if the Bible says if God should mark iniquity, who would stand?
Right.
If everybody in here, when you failed and faltered and fell by the wayside, if that was the end of you, I promise you one thing, somebody else would be preaching this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have been done a long time ago.
Right.
Amen, Brother Luke, I'd have been done a long time ago. And the pews here today would be empty.
Right.
Because you would have been done a long time ago.
Right.
I'm glad we serve a God that is able to work in your life. I'm glad we have a God that is able to restore. He's able to resurrect. He's able this morning to work in your life when nobody else can and when nobody else will. I recommend him to you today, this morning. Amen. Praise God, that's right. And we're just going to kind of be dealing with a topical type message this morning and just dealing with various things. And we're going to be dealing with failure. We're going to be dealing with failure. One of the points, we're going to be dealing with failure. I have a lot of quotes, a lot of things that come out of people's lives that had to do with failure. And I don't know if I can get to that, because the Lord spoke to my heart about starting here with this again, being born again. Oh, yes. You're talking about a began again. That is definitely a new beginning.
Right.
And let me just give you my example, my testimony, for instance. On January the 1st, in 1961, I know that seems like many moons ago, and it has been, but that's when I was born physically into this world. January 1st, 1961. Well, I began. You'd have to agree with that.
Right.
Amen. I didn't evolve.
Thank God.
I didn't come in here from Pluto, Mars. I didn't wiggle my way out of the scum and grow eggs and drop off a tail and become a man. None of that. I began.
Right. Right.
Through procreation, I began. Amen. As I was born into this world. In fact, that's the only way you can get here, by the way.
Amen.
Hello?
Right.
Amen. That's the only way you and I could get here is we're born into this world. And the only way you can get into God's world is you've got to be born again.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I started out, Brother Fultz, I began January 1st, 1981. Amen. That's when I began again. I'm trying to get my mic on here. Amen. All right, I'm on, I think, now. They're back there giving me all kinds of these signals, amen. So I'm having to multitask and preach and turn mics on and everything else. But listen, January the 1st, I began the first time. I began with a physical birth. I began my journey. But I found out through the Word of God, through preaching, through the gospel, that my first beginning was marred with sin. I was born a sinner. I was born into this world. I was conceived in sin, and then I became a sinner by choice when I knew what was right and what was wrong. Amen. You said, preach, what did you need? I needed to be a new beginning. I needed to be able to begin again. I didn't need reformation. I didn't need to reform. I didn't need to be, I didn't need to go through any thing like that. But I needed a new birth. I need regenerated. That's why the Bible in John 3 tells us we need to be born again. Why? Because that first birth won't get you there. That first birth, the best it can do is put you into this world. And anything that's associated with that first birth is tainted with sin. Works or anything, amen, is tainted with sin, and it will not get you to heaven. Amen. That's why you can't be saved by anything you do. You can't be saved by anything you do, because what you do comes from you. Amen. That's right. So what happens? The first birth is a beginning. Amen. It is. It's a beginning. But you need to begin again. You need to have another beginning. And that's when you're born again. Amen. It gives you a new nature. Your first birth gives you an old nature. It gives you the human nature. It gives you an earthly nature. You need to be born again so that you can get new life. Spiritual life, God's life, God's nature, God's spirit. You've got to be born again. That's the only way that you can be saved. Amen. Religion can't do it. Reformation can't do it. Turning over a new leaf can't do it. Straightening up, though that's commendable, that can't do it. You must come to that place. And I want to ask you this morning, just to answer in your own heart and life, has there ever been a time that you began again with a new birth? Because, see, it won't do any good for me to talk about beginning again, Brother J.R., from failure, or beginning again with falling, or beginning again, with the other things we're going to deal with. Because none of those things are important. What good is it that if you fail 1,000 times and faltered 1,000 times and still wind up in hell? What good is it if you've never faltered? That you climb the ladder of success and everybody knows your name and you have trophies and memorials and monuments to recognize you.
But you die lost without God.
Right.
So see, nothing else matters until we deal with this first begin again. You got to be born again. Oh, I tell you, my first 20 years, I lived, I thought, man, I've got the life. Amen. I mean, Lord, listen, I thought I was living, Brother Silas. I really did. I tried to climb, and I believe I did climb the ladder of popularity in our school. I mean, how hard is it? My graduating class wasn't but like 52 or something. But still, I had competition. I tried to climb the ladder of popularity, you know, and was willing to do about whatever it required for me to get to that status. And I believe, Sister Hayes, that I got to that status of popularity in school and even after school. I was 20 years old when I got saved. But you know what? Empty. I was empty. Amen. I was empty. Everything was going well, and I thought I was living it up, and I thought I had life by the tail, so to speak. But you know what? Coming into the house of God and making it just a very short testimony, coming into the house of God where I was raised and heard the man of God preach, and the Lord showed me that I was not saved. My name was on that roll at Middle Fork Baptist Church in Rosman, right outside of Rosman, North Carolina. My name was on the roll. I'd been baptized and all of that. Amen. My papa started the church. You know, I had a lot of heritage. But the Lord showed me that I was lost.
Right.
That I needed a Savior. Amen. And the one thing the Lord showed me that convinced me that I needed a Savior, that I wasn't saved, though I was religious to a point, and my name was on a roll, and I had a heritage, a godly heritage, that I wasn't saved was because I loved sin and my life never changed. How can you possibly claim a salvation that doesn't change your life? That doesn't show anything about the ability of the Savior. You know what the Bible said in Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know what that word power there means? Dunamis. That's where we get our word dynamite from. We're not talking about some firecracker religion. We're talking about the dynamite of the gospel.
Right.
Amen. It's able to. I remember when we was building this building out here, and they did all the site work and the grade work, and when they started digging out and leveling it out and pulling this bank off and leveling that out there, they dug into a giant rock. I mean, humongous rock underneath. And they had to bring the drilling in and drill holes down in there, and they put explosives down in there. They put dynamite down in there, down in those holes, and then put dirt back on it. I thought, boy, this is interesting. All I ever fooled with was firecrackers. Amen. Cherry bombs was the worst I ever did, them M80s and stuff, but I thought this is going to be a big firecracker right here. I was really interested in that. But they took that big track hoe and piled dirt back on it, and I mean, that rock was standing in the way of progress. That rock was hard. That rock was big. But when they ignited that thing, I'm telling you, the whole ground out there lifted up. I mean, it just, boom, and then they went in there and dug the pieces out. The gospel is the dynamite of God. Boy, amen, we've all known sinners that we thought was hard, that we thought never would get saved, that we thought never could get saved. Their life was hardened to God. They're immoral and they're wicked and their mind is made up. I'll never get saved. I'm not going to get saved. But you know what? You come in contact with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the dynamite of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I come exposed to the Word of God and power, and God showed me that I was lost and that I needed to be saved. I made an old-fashioned trip to an old-fashioned altar, and I got gloriously saved by the grace of God. January the 20th, 1981, at 20 years old, I got saved. Miss Betty, you know what happened? I began again. Amen. January 1st, 1961, I began. But January the 20th, 1981, I began again by being born again. And Brother Ron, my life has been changed. My life has been, listen, you say, preacher, have you been everything? Have you been everything that you should be since you got saved? I don't even know if I need to answer that. You know that I'm not, and you haven't. My wife could testify. but we won't let her this morning. Amen. That's right. But hey, listen, I've not been everything. But here's the thing, Brother Tim. Though I've not been everything I should be and everything I could be, and I regret that and I'm ashamed of that and I'm sorry for that.
Right.
I've never been what I used to be.
Right.
Thank God.
Amen.
Never been what I used to be, Brother Fultz. By the grace of God. Listen, I can't give your testimony, but I can sure give mine. Because I know what God did for me. Do you know what the Lord's done for you? Is it real to you? Is there evidence of it? Oh, yes. I want to tell you, God showed me that I was lost, and I got gloriously saved, and I began again. That night, second night of a 7-week revival, that night, friend, God showed me that I wasn't saved. Watch this. From that night to this day, I've been a changed man. I'm talking about, friend, when God saved me that night, Brother Travis, God saved my cusser. God dealt, listen, I'm talking about, brother, listen, I know He's still working on me. Thank God for that. He's still working on me. He's still changing me. But I mean, that night, brother, to this day, not one cuss word has ever come out of my mouth. And before that, I had a filthy mouth. I'm telling you, I was ashamed of it. Amen. It's pitiful. But when I got saved, Brother Brad, God saved my cusser. I used to do a lot of things, you know, that relates to the partying life, and I don't want to go into all the details of that. I certainly don't want to give no credit to the devil. But I want you to know, when God saved me that night, that all left me. That all went out of my life. Let me give you a verse of scripture real quick. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You see what that says? If you're in Christ, it's evident by the fact that you are been made a what? New creature, or a new creation. I'm glad the Lord is able. That's good news to you. If you're here lost without God, that's great news to you. That you can begin again. God can save you. God can change your life. God can give you new life. Some of you, I've had people that I've witnessed to, Brother Silas, that'll tell me, well, I'm not going to get saved because I can't live it. And that is true. You can't live it. But here's the thing. When you get saved, God puts His life in you. God puts His life in you. God puts His Spirit in you, and you're not saved if you don't have His Spirit. Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. You're not saved if you don't have His Spirit. You're not saved if you don't have His life. The Bible said in 1 John, he that hath the Son hath life. Amen. Do I have physical life this morning? How much time would you have to take to discuss that with your wife or husband or your children, amen, in the service this morning to come to the conclusion Preacher Rackley has physical life? You don't doubt. Now, be honest. I won't get mad. I won't throw a songbook at you. How many of you really doubted this morning that Preacher Rackley has physical life? Now, be honest. None? Everybody in here convinced Preacher Rackley has physical life? Though you weren't there when I was born, January the 1st, 1961. But yet you know I have had a physical birth and you believe I do have life. Why? There's evidence. You can see it. You can hear it. Movement. Amen. Every indication lets you know that I have physical life and I am living that life. So it is when you're born again, you receive life. He that hath the Son hath life. You can't be saved and not have life. And how can you possibly have life and there not be evidence of it? I'm trying to drive home because God wanted me to before we ever start dealing with failures and all of those things and that's coming. God says, start with this because this is the start. Let them know that they can be born again. They can be saved. They can begin again. The old birth is gone. The old birth brings condemnation. The new birth brings conversion. The old birth, brother Fultz, produces death. As a son of Adam, a sinner, I'm going to die. The wages of sin is death, but the new birth hooks me up to the one that died for me, that satisfied the law of God for me. Hallelujah. And I'm saved by the grace of God. There's therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible says there two or three times in John 3 about being born again. Have you been, listen, I know that's elementary right here. I mean, we hear it so much. But I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to die with what you got? Are you willing to die with what you claim to have? Is there anybody in your family got any confidence in you that you do in fact know the Lord? Folks, listen. The devil does not care if you go to church every day of your life as long as you never are born again. The devil does not care if you're religious as was Nicodemus, if you're religious as was Saul of Tarsus, if you're religious as many of the others in the Bible. He does not care as long as you miss out that element of the new birth. Miss Debbie, you've testified before, sat there with tears running down your face. Even now, God saved you off of the church pew as a churchman. Now, Miss Debbie could have went right on. Miss Hayes, you've known her. She could have went right on. I think you was playing the piano and stuff in the church. Miss Hayes, she could have went right on in her profession. And had she died, everybody would have said, well, Miss Debbie's gone to heaven. Miss Debbie's in a better place. Moral person, playing the piano in church, probably singing specials in church. And everybody that knew her would have thought, well, Miss Debbie's gone to be with the Lord. When the reality of it is that Miss Debbie wasn't even saved by her own testimony. And in fact, instead of being in a better place, she would have been in a burning place called hell. See, Miss Debbie, you wouldn't have went to hell, or you wouldn't went to heaven because Miss Hayes thought you were saved, or anybody else in the church thought you were saved. Amen. You don't go. Your destiny is not picked by what others think about you and what they think, or even what you think about yourself. Has there ever been a time that you did business? Lord's got me hung up on this. Has there ever been a time that you did business with the Lord?
Right.
Has there ever been a time? Let me deal with it just basic. Has there ever been a time that you've been under conviction? What do you mean conviction, preacher? To be convicted in a court of law means you've been proven guilty. Has there ever been a time that the Spirit of God took the Word of God and showed you that you were guilty of being a transgressor of God's holy law? Has there ever been a time? Has there ever been a time that you can go back in your life? Yeah, I remember. I remember. I may not remember if it was June or January or September. I may not remember if it was a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service. I may not remember if it was the second night or the fourth night of revival. I may not remember some of those details, but you will know that there was a time, hallelujah, that you did business with God about your soul and salvation. You will know. You won't forget that. You, as long as you're in your right mind, you cannot forget that. Because that's the day you pass from death unto light. That's the day that you pass from darkness into light. That's the day, hallelujah, you begin again. Amen, sis. Shout it out, hallelujah. Oh, yes. God saved me, though I wasn't the moral person, but yet I still was a church member. God saved me. Amen, that's right. Praise God, I'm glad I began again. I am new life, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Boy, I'm glad I had that new beginning. Amen. Have you? Have you had that new beginning? Have you been born again? You said, preacher, that is so basic. That is so elementary. It is. But I'll tell you how big it is. If you're not saved, you'll not go to heaven. Amen. I've told you my testimony, and I'll give you bits and pieces of it this morning. But I want to tell you my wife, my aunt. I had an aunt that told me, and I was still up front. And she come up to me and told me when I told everybody I'd gotten saved. She come up to me and told me, "See, you didn't get saved. You was already saved." I said, "No, ma'am." And I was very respectful. I said, "No, ma'am, I got saved today. I got saved today." I didn't let her change my mind because I knew what happened in the altar. Hey, man, if everybody in here lines up out through the parking lot and one by one you come right here and you look at Preacher Rackley in the face and say, "You're not saved, you're deceived, amen, you believed a lie," I'll say, "Next." And when the line has come and gone, I will still be as sure, I will still be as certain that I'm a born-again Christian, amen, as before the first one said anything, amen. Because I'm not going to listen to somebody tell me I'm not when the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures says that I am. Have you begun again with the new birth? I didn't ask you, are you a good person? I did not ask you, are you sincere? I didn't ask you, do you intend on getting saved one day? I'm asking you, amen, because God said so. Do y'all understand this? I want you to get this. This message has been working in my heart for at least 3 weeks. And there's been services I thought this is going to be it. This is the day. God's going to let me preach this today. Miss Paul Sue, even last night, laying in the bed, I said, "Lord, I don't want to just preach anything." And I studied, listen, my wife will tell you, I studied several hours yesterday. Didn't go nowhere, just stayed there, just study and study. And I probably started 3 messages yesterday. Just God started feeding me, God started speaking to me. And I think, well, this will be it. And then that would kind of go to the back burner. And when I pillowed my head about 2 this morning, laying there in the bed, saying, "Oh God, what do you want me to preach to the people? You know who's going to be there. I don't have a clue." And God gave me a nudge in my heart. It's time. Preach on. You can begin again. Amen. The greatest news this side of heaven is to you that are not saved, amen, that you can begin again with a new birth. Yes, you can be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it, don't you? Here's another verse that goes along with that. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Did you hear that? Begotten again. Have you been born again? Now, I don't know that answer for you. Are you listening to the preacher? I don't know that answer for you. I could guess. I could suppose, I could maybe even think, well, you know, pretty much I'm persuaded they are, but I can't give a definite on that. Right, right. I can't give a definite. Why? Because I can't see inside you, Brother Silas. Right. I'm persuaded you are. I don't have any doubt in my mind that you're not saved, but I don't know that. Right. I don't know that. I don't know that. Are you listening? Why? Because I'm not you and I weren't there when you got saved and I'm not inside you. I can't see inside of you. Are you listening? Amen. The only one that I know, listen, on planet Earth, the only one that I know on planet Earth tonight, this morning, out of 7+ billion people that is really saved is me. Because I was there when it happened. And I've been there ever since it happened. And I know the change it was wrought in my life. Boy, that's good news to you. Oh, isn't it good? Wasn't that good news, Brother Bob, tell about his cancer gone in his bones? Isn't that good news? Amen. Did you welcome that good news? When he went to the over there and they set you down and said, "Bob, here's the report." Did you welcome that? You say, "Where are you going with that?" I'm talking about when God saves you, buddy. He does more than just heal you of something physical, brother. He saves you from an eternal hell. You're delivered from the condemnation of God. Oh, I've never met one that said, "I wish I hadn't got saved." Never. I've never met one that said, I wished I hadn't. It was a mistake. No, everybody that gets saved, everybody. I've seen people saved in the Philippines. I've seen people saved in Honduras. Amen. That's the two fields that I've went to so far. Amen. And I've seen people saved in those countries, but I've never heard one, never met one yet in all of my traveling that's ever said, I wish I hadn't got saved. But I've heard thousands. I mean literally thousands, Brother Tim, that said, best thing.
Right.
Best thing to ever happen to me is to begin again. Right. Who would have ever thought, Miss June, you were in Florida when you got saved? Who would have ever thought? And we've heard, some of you have heard Miss June's testimony. Who would have ever thought? She'd be sitting here with her family, right here in the house of God. When really you weren't headed for a church pew, you was probably headed for a prison cell. But God saved her, changed her life. Isn't that one? Brother Fultz, ain't no telling where you'd be. I don't know much about you other than your reputation preceded you, that you was mean and all that. Amen, Miss Candy. But look at you. Not that you've done anything. You didn't pull yourself up and you didn't reform and none of that. There was a day. You remember when it was? When was it?
12 years old.
12 years old. What happened to you, Brother Fultz? Tell me. God saved you. Brother Klepper, used to be the long arm of the law. Got saved. You was what age when you got saved, Brother Klepper? 53 years old when he got saved. And I've heard all kind of horror stories about him when he was lost. But Brother Klepper, can I say this to you, Brother Klepper, and give God all the glory? Son, I'm feeling a witness. You bear no evidence of the reputation I heard about you. I believe you began again. I believe there was a point, Brother Klepper, you got saved. Do you regret it, Brother Klepper? Tears running, dripping off your nose for some reason. You regret it, Brother Klepper? Just want to cry about it. Don't you settle, friend. Church member or visitor, don't settle. Don't settle for a little flimsy, little profession you made whenever. Amen. That didn't do nothing in your life, didn't change your life, didn't give you a heart for the Lord, didn't change your life. Brother Brad, a missionary now going to Haiti. Godly family. Brother Brad, there was a time in your life, and I've heard his testimony, and you've heard it, some of it. Rough, mean. And God saved him. You know what that means? God gives you a new beginning. God gives you a new life, a new start. Praise God, a new direction, a new Lord, a new home. Amen. And we could go all through this congregation and point out people that by your testimony and by the evidence in your life that you're saved. But have you been born again? I know this is so basic, Brother Mark, but I'm telling you, I can't get off of it yet. Because it don't matter what else I preach about failures, that means nothing if you've never been saved. That you can begin again, that you can get up again, that you can stand up again. A righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll rise again. You can get up again. Amen. That's wonderful preaching. That's wonderful truth. And it's verified throughout the Scripture, and I can't wait to get on it. But I'm going to tell you what's the truth. If you've never been born again, and that's not just religious terminology, that is a real experience. Just as much as the physical birth was a real experience that produces real life, real evidence, puts you into a world that agrees with your nature. So it is when you're born again. God gives you new life, hooks you up into a world that agrees with your nature. I'm glad I'm saved. Have you been saved? Are you willing, and God forbid that this would be the last service somebody had sat in right here today, especially if you're lost. But are you willing if it come your time to cross out this life today, could you leave out of here Would you be willing to look into the dark hole of death and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I know I'm saved. It's real to me. It's real to me that I'm saved. Amen. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except you be reprobate. Is it real to you that you're saved this morning? Oh, I'm telling you, God's trying to get that big in somebody. It's not that you're a church member. It's not that you're a good person. Or I want to get saved. I think, no. Are you? You won't go to heaven because you think or plan on. You go to heaven because you are saved. Are saved. Are you saved? Does this Bible agree with it? I know people all across this country where I preach, and they claim to be saved, and this Bible seems to say, I don't think so. The Spirit of God that wrote this book is the same Spirit of God that produces the new birth. And I believe that He will produce the birth that lines up with the book. Amen. Are you saved? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I recommend Him to you today. I recommend Him to you. He has never turned anybody away. Never. Never. Boy, I'm telling you, listen, I don't know how much further we're going to go this morning, but I want to say this. The devil would love to keep you waiting and procrastinating and putting it off. Well, I will, preacher. I really will. Did you know there's a lot of people in hell that had every intention on getting saved? They had every intention of getting saved. But they waited and they waited. And they waited and they waited and they still had something else to do and they had something else to do and they had something else to do until their life was over. And once your life is over, your opportunity of getting saved is over. God knew you was coming. God knew it was going to be assembled just as we are here today. I had no clue who was coming. I don't do that. I don't say, okay, well, so-and-so's coming today. I'm going to preach this. I don't do that. I said, God, you know who's coming. You know who needs the message. You direct me. You lead me. You guide me. Lord, help me to preach what you want me to preach. Amen. Have you been born again? Have you had that new beginning? That new life that comes in when He saves you. Amen. Praise God, Nicodemus could testify to it. The Samaritan woman in John 4 could testify to the new beginning that God gives when He saves a person. The woman caught in adultery in John 8, she could testify of the saving power and grace of God. Go and sin no more. I'm telling you, throughout the Scripture, Mary Magdalene, Saul of Tarsus, on and on and on and on and on. The list goes. Of people whose lives were in darkness, but they got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Of course, let me just mention this really quick. If you're here today and you're out of God's will, and it is possible for you to get out of God's will, and there's a ton of illustrations in the Bible of that. Abraham got out of God's will, took his wife, and went to Egypt. But there in the book of Genesis, the Bible said he went back to the place of his altar where he met with God at first. Went back there. He began again and he lived for God. There's Jonah, there's David, there's Naomi. All of these people and many more began again because they had failed. They'd got out of God's will. You know what? The devil will tell you, and I'm just mentioning this quickly, the devil will tell you that if you get out of God's will, you're finished. That if you've tripped and stumbled and fell, you're out of God's will, you're over, it's over for you. But that is not the truth. Failures, listen to this, write it down in your heart. Failures are not fatal, nor is failures final unless you choose it. Amen. The prodigal came back from the far country. Amen. Naomi came back from Moab. Lot came back from Sodom. Abraham come back from Egypt. The list is endless through the scripture of people that got out of God's will. Amen. That said yes when they should have said no, or said no when they should have said yes, and they got out of God's will. But I'm glad to report to you that you can begin again. God can forgive you of your sins and pick you up and clean you off and stand you up again, and you can go on and serve the Lord. Amen. Let me give you this real quick. I feel like the Lord's giving me peace on it. You can begin again not only by being born again. You begin again by being restored when you've left God's will. But you can begin again when you failed. When you failed. Winston Churchill, I'm going to just give you these real quick. I'm not going to try to elaborate on a bunch of them, but I'm going to give you some of them. Winston Churchill, who went down in history as one of the greatest statesmen of all time. Winston Churchill had to repeat the sixth grade in elementary. And when he entered into college, he was in the lowest division of the lowest class. Later, he twice failed in his entrance exam into the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst. He was defeated in his first effort to serve in Parliament. He became Prime Minister of England at age 62. And he later wrote this: never give in, never give in, never, 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 never give in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and of good sense. And he closed this statement: never, 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 never give up. All capital letters, never give up. And I heard an actual audio excerpt of him making the statement as he addressed his country when Hitler was breathing down the necks of all the countries of Europe. He made this statement as he was addressing his country. He said, "We will never surrender. We will never surrender." But he rose, y'all get that? He rose to that status of prime minister and went down as one of the greatest statesmen of all time. But he failed the sixth grade and failed here and he failed there and he failed here and there. All around he failed. Amen. Listen to this. Success is going from failure. Winston Churchill said this: success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Amen. For failures, if learned from, can lead to success. How did you learn to walk? By falling, getting up,
right.
Falling, getting up, taking a step. And you learn from failure. It's better to try and fail than to not fail because you didn't even try. Amen. Right. Boy, I got a whole lot of lists of things that God gave to me, and plus other illustrations. How many of you ever heard of Thomas Edison? I'm sure you probably have. Did you know that he invented successfully the light bulb on his 1,000th try? Someone asked him one day, said, "Did you fail 999 times?" He said, "Oh no, I didn't fail 999 times." He said, I just proved that there was 999 ways that wouldn't work. And on that 1,000th try, he succeeded. And he went on to say this: many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. What if he'd have gave up at 999? Man, this ain't gonna work. But he went on. He went on to give this example as well. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. Brother Silas, you opened up, that God just confirmed was on target. The girl singing that song, finishing well. Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time than you failed. That's good, isn't it? Show me a thoroughly satisfied man and I will show you a failure. Thomas Edison said that. And he's heard of Albert Einstein, one of the greatest well-known physicists, scientists. Did not even speak till he was 4 years old. Didn't read till he was seven. His parents thought he was subnormal. One of his teachers described him as mentally slow, unsociable, adrift forever in foolish dreams. He was expelled from school and was refused to be admitted into some, I guess that's some big college. But he did eventually learn to speak and to read and to do a little bit of math. What about that?
Right.
Failure. But he kept getting up. This fellow here, you probably never heard of him. I guess it's Werner von Braun.
Yes.
Hey, like that French. He said it takes 65,000 arrows before you're qualified to make a rocket. My understanding is he's the inventor of the rocket.
Right.
Everybody's heard of Woolworth stores. F.W. Woolworth was not allowed to even wait on customers when he worked in a dry goods store because his boss said he didn't even have enough good sense. And now look at what a successful chain. Everybody heard of Macy, R.H. Macy, the Macy stores in New York, failed seven times before the store ever succeeded. Henry Ford, I'll give you that one. Henry Ford failed and was bankrupt five times before he succeeded. Yeah. Michael Jordan, everybody's heard of him. He was cut from his high school ball team. He said, quote, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was trusted to give the winning game shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life. That's why I succeeded." Jordan goes on to say, the reason he has succeeded boils down to his constantly failure and used failure as motivation to shoot for success. In other words, Jordan viewed failures as stepping stones towards success. His shooting average was 50%, so in order to score, he had to shoot twice. One would be a failure, and the other a hit. What about that? And here was his statement. He said he failed forward toward success. Bobby Jones, probably one of the greatest golfers outside of Preacher Ackley. Yeah. He said, "I never learned one thing from a tournament I won." Did you get that? He said, "I never learned one thing from a tournament that I won." In other words, I learned from my mistakes. Lance Armstrong, we've all heard of him, and you know how that they made fun of him and being a cyclist and said he would never amount to much, never win nothing. Ended up, he won the Tour de France, if I said that right, six consecutive times when they said he never would. Walt Disney, everybody heard of him? Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. He went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. In fact, the proposed park was rejected by the city of Anaheim on the grounds that it would only attract riffraff. I'm talking about coming out of failure, beginning again. Amen. I know my wife likes this one. 1954, Jimmy Denny, manager of the Grand Ole Opry, fired Elvis Presley. Yeah, fired him. After one performance, he told Presley, quote, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck." But evidently, he sung another song. Beethoven, if I'm pronouncing that right, they said that he handled a violin awkwardly and preferred playing his own compositions instead of improving his technique. His teacher called him and called him, quote, "hopeless as a composer." And of course, you know that he wrote five of his greatest symphonies while he was completely deaf. Lucille Ball, I Love Lucy, have you heard of her? 1927, she was told by her instructor, John Murray Anderson, in the drama school, quote, "try another profession." Amen. And the list goes on. I mean, on and on. Babe Ruth, known for being one of the most famous baseball players. He was famous for his home run record. For decades, he held the record for strikeouts. How many knew that? We all know him for his home run. He was known for his record of strikeouts. He hit 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times in his career. But here's the way he looked at it. Every strike brings me closer to my next home run. Amen. Isn't that good?
Right.
And the list that goes on we could give you. But listen, have you been born again? That's the main one. That's the important one. Have you been born again? Maybe you've got out of God's will. Maybe you've stepped away from what you know is right. And the devil will tell you, buddy, you blew it. If that's the case, Peter would have blown it. Amen. David would have blown it. Moses would have blown it. Abraham would have blown it. Jonah would have blown it. I would have blown it. You would have blown it. But I'm glad we can begin again. Now let me give this real quickly to you. When I'm preaching on you, you can begin again. That is not telling you to treat lightly the will of God. That's not telling you that, okay, I can begin again so I can get out again. This message of begin again is not for those who's wanting out, but it's for those who are wanting back in.
Right.
To give you hope that God will forgive you, that God will forgive you, God will save you, God will change your life, and you can begin again. And you can live the rest of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And be glad you did. Let's all stand to our feet.